Hello, everyone. Hi. Hey, hope you're keeping safe and healthy and wearing your mask when you go out in public. I'm doing pretty good. Starting off this new year with the new podcast and feeling cautiously optimistic overall. We're just about 5 days away from the inauguration of Joseph Biden and Kamala Harris and all the incredible cabinet he's put together to bring some peace and love and unity with people that are committed to peace and love and healing. So today's episode of Radical Musings is with some dear friends, rock and roll power couple Perry and Eddie Farrell. These two are amazing artists who juggle family life and the rigors of touring and performing together. And that's always been interesting to me. Like, how do you guys do this as parents too? Perry, of course, is the frontman of Iconics, Jane's Addiction, one of my favorite bands, and pioneer owner of Lollapalooza. Eddie, his wife, is a talented singer and dancer who has toured for years with Jane's. And I want to check in and see how they're faring during this time because, you know, what's it like not to be able to perform in front of a live audience? I mean, how have they stayed connected or reconnected with one another? What's family life like? And I just want you all to check it out and hear the conversation we had, which actually we got to do with safe social distancing in my house. We were all tested. We were all okay. And we had our little pod. And they drank a beautiful bottle of champagne, and I got to talk to them and about their lives and how they are and how they create. Check it out. In this time of quarantine, how do you guys balance this time with your kids, homeschooling, being together 24/7, not going on the road? You guys are used to, you know, going on the road. You guys have the biggest rock festival in the world, Lollapalooza, that is a franchise. And what has this done to live music for everybody? I'm in a lot of pain about it. You actually own Lollapalooza. What the fuck is going to happen?
Good things are on the horizon. So, you know what? I actually feel that history will look back at this time. If we play it right, we can benefit from this time off.
Yes.
Because it gives us time to reconsider. It gives us time now. Like, I'll give you an example. So our friend Mark Geiger, who helped, you know.
I love Mark Geiger.
Start Lollapalooza. He was the president of William Morris. What he did was he, along with a couple of other people around the country, they're looking to buy up the venues that went down.
And do
well when the time comes, which so he's looking to, you know, buy the classic venues anyway. And at the time when the time comes, which is not going to be far, we're expecting next summer we're going to be open and for business again. And so I told Mark, I go, well, you know what, man, before you do that, I want one of the clubs. Because I want to put in an immersive theater with Atmos surround sound. So what I'm getting at, my point is, this has given us a chance to reconsider. It almost seems like we were going down the wrong path. Dude, not only a reset, but a regeneration. So we have to not, you know, we can't let this opportunity slip by. We have to now put in better than what it was.
Yeah.
Reconsider,
and that's what you're doing.
Everything with government, with relationships, with nightclubs, you know.
How are you doing that as the couple? Because, you know, you're on the road with him. You're on stage. Like, how has this
in bed? In the kitchen.
How has this impacted you? And your kids are home. They're homeschooling. Like, are they on Zoom?
Well, one of them graduated.
And what?
I know, he's 18.
No.
And I understand that. I want to throw it out there. Of course, the pandemic is a terrible thing that happened. People losing their jobs, people losing their lives.
Right.
But with that being said, I want to say that for our family, and you remember when your kids are teenagers, they want nothing to do with you. You barely even know if they're home or not. But once the quarantine happened, they couldn't hang out with their friends. They had no school. So within 2 months, you know, they kind of come around and our family became closer.
That yeah. was great.
And my son even yeah. said to Perry, he said, you know, it's actually a good thing because if I had, you know, if quarantine had happened, I graduated, I would have moved away. I never would have came back to speak to you guys. I never would have came back home. But now look.
Because now
we're
they understand,
along.
Though, they, he has the life of, you know, let's face it, we have some privilege going on here. And that they, that was your job to be on the road. And that's hard on a kid.
Very hard.
It is hard. It's hard on kids when, you know, when their parents leave them on the road. Yeah.
Except he started using it to party. Like he was going, when we got back and.
We were supposed to go back out to South America. And, you know, clearly we couldn't. No, we were supposed to go to New York for a job. And he said that, well.
I've put together a mixer. He goes, it's going to be okay, Dad. I know how to do this. I know how to do this. I'm like,
he's like,
a mixer.
He's like, can you get a hotel for the weekend? Because I already invited people. It's too late for me.
To your house?
Yeah.
In March.
During, so during quarantine.
At the very beginning before quarantine happened. Quarantine.
So what did you do? What did you guys do?
We just let, I wanted to see how we can mix it up. So I like, this is a good sign. So yeah, I said, look, man, I'm not going to go check into a hotel. I live here. But the mixer shall go on. So I said, we're just going to keep the door closed. And I checked it. I saw what, you know, how he operates.
And how did it go?
Pretty good. You know,
were they partying? Like was there part like?
Well, they drink off my liquor, which is all right because it's, you know,
it's
good
okay
stuff.
As long as they don't fill it back up with water.
As long as they're not, as long as they're not driving.
Exactly. Right. And I would rather have the bottle be empty than make a drink and realize it's watered down. You know what I mean? So I said, don't fill it back up. I thought he did great. He cleaned up, right?
Yeah, he cleaned up.
And he was okay.
Yeah. And when it comes to drugs, they've got a really healthy outlook, I would say. They have one friend in the gang that keeps like getting in trouble and overdosing.
Well,
and
that's terrible.
They put him in a rehab, but the rest of his friends are pretty responsible.
And just know, because after a while, like, you know, how many times do you want to do that? It's like you don't want to watch people. Kids are ODing because I think what's happening is that shit that's coming from China. The fentanyl and stuff, it's rat poison. They're it's killing people.
Yeah.
It's so dangerous, as we saw with Prince.
Right.
And you know, I mean, it's so dangerous. All this, these downers that are happening, it's making me very nervous.
Smoke pot, I feel like.
Do you guys talk about all this stuff with your kids? You sit
there.
This is whole new generation of dating online and connecting with each other, which I actually am very scared about it on for many reasons because I do know. Because I work with, you know, people who investigate all this crazy stuff that's happening to our kids. And it scares me. But it's also, there can be a way where it can actually really be safe for them. And we know that kids aren't, you know, giving their information to creepy people who want to traffic them. Then, you know, it is the new world. It really is. My daughter just turned 26 in October. So it's like Zoe, she's 26. She's an incredible artist, you know, but she's got her shit. And then navigating that with her, 26, I could see the shift, like something just shifted where
she's starting to get it.
Yeah.
Get the rhythm of life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Thank God.
Yeah. Nice.
I feel like the world is evolving so much, especially with technology. And in technology evolving, it changes our relationship, how we interact with each other, our dynamic with each other. And I feel like it's hard for kids to navigate because the constant that we had when we were growing up, it's not really there anymore.
Right, right.
Well, it's there, but other things are showing up to kind of confuse it. But you really have to, if, you know, as a parent, like one thing I would point to being a good parent constantly. Don't get too caught up in that technology because that's a lot of white noise.
Yeah.
In the end, that's what I told him is in the end, you know, you have to get to know that person. You know, when the electricity goes off or fails, you're not, I don't want to say stuck with each other, but you are then with each other.
But
and you have to know that real soul.
Do you guys in this time, have you had some like knockdown dragouts?
fights.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, you understand.
I was like, I don't know if I could hang this shit. Well, I mean, it was like, it got gnarly there for a minute, but then we
just
worked.
Because of the proximity?
It's yes. Because
and
it's like
20% there's nothing else to distract you.
Yeah,
you're here with each other all day long.
Yeah. And so, it's intense, but are you making music?
Yeah. We're doing it every day.
Okay.
So
do you have a studio in the house?
Huh?
Yeah, I have a studio in my house. We have an edge because we've been performing with each other for what, 20 something years?
Since 97. So that would make it 23.
So we're in close proximity with each other every day on the road and, you know, in rehearsals. So to us, it's second nature. When we're home.
Are you still, do you still have Jane's Addiction or is that just?
Yeah.
So it's still together.
Yeah.
Now it's like I want to hear Jane's Addiction.
Yeah.
In quarantine, what the fuck is going on in your heads and how you guys put the music out there now?
Right.
Is this exciting?
Well, we have been on a steady stream of recording Kind Heaven Orchestra
with the band.
Not yet, but we're getting to it. Next year. Will be, I don't want to call it touring because again,
we don't know what it is.
I don't want to go back to things that weren't perfect.
Yeah.
I would rather prefer to see if I can refine the world.
Maybe it's the bubble, like this.
Well, you know what? Let's start, with House Party.
Yeah. So House Party.
We've been, writing music, producing it and pressing it up, man. We've been pressing up vinyl.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So
I want a vinyl.
We come out with a box set So
it's the Perry Farrell Janes. It's everything
it's
that you involved
my,
in.
My career in music starting with Psycom, which is my first band. And it goes,
Porno with Pyros.
Porno and Janes, but more, it's more the,
you're really solo work.
The solo work.
Like in a band.
But I'm collaborating with, I just did a collaboration with Chuck D from Public Enemy.
I love it.
That'll be coming out.
No, I just love that you've done that. That's amazing.
Yeah. And so I'm looking at it like this. The when things open back up, I think that it's going to start with people having kind of smaller house parties. So get your music collection ready and then I'm also looking at the way we listen to music, the hardware. So as most of us have stereo mixing, house, home entertainment centers, I remixed the last album, which was the Kind Heaven Orchestra. It's remixed in Atmos surround sound, which you would know. Because that's how we listen to music in the theaters.
Right, right, right.
So it's surround sound.
Yeah.
So I have an entire album remixed in surround sound. It sounds beautiful because you know how I do my delays?
Yeah.
And I have string sections and orchestra mixed with electronics.
So, let me ask you, you've taken a long time not home and like when you're on the road, everybody's voices, it's like resting this time. Did it rest your vocal cords? And you feel like it empowered you?
Yeah. You know, I had surgery recently, which
for a node,
I had my discs. I had two discs in my neck.
You did. Oh.
And I have another one to go on my lower back. But you know what they had to do? They had to take my voice box out.
You actually can't do that. They just
moved. Fuck.
Well, they took it out. Yeah.
No, but it's really interesting. Like, it's wow.
So
but you had the greatest surgeon in the world of things.
Yeah.
This guy. Can you sing?
I'm back.
Wow.
Yeah, but I was worried.
Singing right out of surgery, even before he's still under anesthesia, but he was singing. You don't remember singing, but they said you came coming out of the surgery room singing.
Oh, my God. That's so cool.
To make sure he can still do it.
Yeah.
So you had enough you were awake enough to understand that, or do you think it just came from?
I'm not sure. I don't remember that.
So that came from inside him. That he just was, his music just came out, even though he was
still under.
But so anyway, So I think things are going to be really great when everything is up and running, it's going to be better than before.
Woo-hoo.
There's going to be collaborations around the world. I'm looking to not just do Lollapaloozas around the world, but I want to actively go out and meet young musicians around the world and record with them and perform and do parties with them.
That is, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. I love it. So where's Lollapalooza, this great festival? You have it in Peru?
No, not Peru.
Where?
Well, of course, Chicago.
Argentina.
We have Argentina. Brazil.
Chile.
In Europe, we have Stockholm. We have Paris and Berlin.
Right.
I didn't know there was a Paris Lollapalooza. No. When did that happen? I missed
it's
that.
It's always the
3-4 years ago.
Week of July.
I didn't even know that.
3 years ago.
Where have I been? That's the bummer. That's
working,
the thing that I miss. I miss out with my businessman husband sometimes. Like, it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I should be in Paris. I'm flying in to go see my friends in Paris.
Yes,
like, which
please.
I did do, you know, to Lollapalooza when in Chicago and you guys, and that was Radiohead time. That was awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
So this has always been important as to how the balance of your art and your lives as artists together, but you're married, parents, living in quarantine. How are you managing to do that? And Etty, you've been a dancer for Jane's Addiction and worked with Perry for so many years. But in this time, it's like, are you transforming into another space for yourself as an artist?
Yes. So I've been singing more. So I started singing, I think, in 2006 when his band broke up, and you know, needed someone to come in, lay down some vocals. And it turned out our voices.
That was Satellite Party, right?
Satellite Party.
Yeah.
But we're singing more. Do you want to tell them about our new song?
Okay. So
are you writing together too? Or you write the songs and you sing his songs?
I sing his songs.
Yeah.
So far. But Etty is a multi-instrumentalist as well as a dancer.
I didn't know that.
Singing, she can play guitar and
you can?
Saxophone.
I'm okay with the guitar, but I can play the saxophone.
Really? So
that's so bitchin'.
Yeah.
I want to say bitchin'.
Yeah. Rosanna, you'd love it. So our latest track is He's a Rebel. Phil Spector's song, He's a Rebel by Darlene Love, you know, and the Crystals. So she's singing lead. It's her like first single. And then there's a sax part and she goes, man, I really wish I had my sax with me. I'm like, what? I go, we're getting you a sax right away. So she laid down. I'm going to show you a picture.
Yeah.
Saxophone is a very anti-fascist instrument and I'll explain why.
But I want to see that live. I want to see you on stage with your sax.
It's nerve-wracking
though,
right?
Because after a while, you know, dancing in your beautiful, gorgeous dancer life.
Your body.
But
falls
after
apart.
A while, no, it had. But after a while, it's like I'm glad to see you're transforming in this time to your truth as an artist too.
Saxophone kills fascists.
Why?
Because
the saxophone kills fascists. Okay.
Because dig this in. The late 1950s, early 1960s, when Castro took over power in Cuba, one of the things he did was he made a stipulation that no one can play saxophone anymore.
Just
he removed the saxophone. He removed the sax.
I wonder what that was, like some weird traumatic experience happened to him as a kid where he hated it.
He
so much.
Claimed that the saxophone was, was an American instrument that was
trumpets, so was other.
I know, but in the Cuban orchestras,
you know, isn't it crazy?
No,
like, it was very disappointing and intense to hear that all these, you know, the Cuban community in Florida voted for Trump.
Well, I think
what was that about? Like they voted for another fascist.
Yeah. Well, they were working on the ground for a few years to try to have the Cuban community believe that Joe Biden was a socialist. And when they hear the word socialist,
they go,
and they just, and it's that and a little bit like, I understand wanting to be a part of something when you are an immigrant and, you know, you're now living here in America and you want to be American. Yeah. You might go along with somebody who says, you know, socialists, oh, those guys are bad. And you, you know, I don't know. I'm not a Cuban, obviously, but I had an uncle that was a Cuban drummer.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
My father was and I have his drums. He was an amazing conga player, and they're actually in that room. You could check them out.
Yeah,
you were raised completely different. Like how were you raised? You come from a Jewish family.
Yeah, but again, but my father did not wear yarmulke or payas.
No. Yeah.
You know, I got bar mitzvahed and I'm really glad I did, but he didn't go to temple very much. And my dad grew up he was kind of a teenager, young man in the 40s. So he was really into going out dancing, as a lot of the New Yorkers did. They would go and dance to the likes of, you know, like Duke Ellington or Count Basie.
Uh-huh.
And they would wear zoot suits.
Yeah.
And there was a movement that simultaneously was going on in Paris. The movement was, they called themselves the Zazao. The Zazao were anti-fascist.
That's people, what we
kids
are.
That
we're
loved
Zazao.
Jazz. Yeah, they loved jazz in their day. But like, yeah, we're Zazao. We're anti-fascist.
We're the Zazao.
That's
right. Let's make that happen now.
Yeah.
We're anti-fascist.
Yeah.
We're Zazao.
Into jazz music.
Oh, wait a minute. That's the song.
But anyways, yeah, so I was brought up in that type of a family. My big brother was a complete freak, outlaw biker, believe it or not. You know, in New York, they called him Greaser. So he goes that far back. Initially, it wasn't long hair, but they would grease their hair back and wear what they called duck's ass, DAs, pompadour, duck's ass, like West Side Story or Rebel Without a Cause.
Yeah.
But really, who they were emulating was Marlon Brando in The Wild Bunch.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah,
the Wild One. The Wild One?
The Wild.
The Wild One. The Wild Bunch is the cowboy,
oh,
Sam Peckinpah.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, and then my sister loved, so my brother loved rock and roll, right?
Did he turn you on to rock and roll?
Yeah. And then my
What was the first record that you remember that he turned you on to? Musical.
I mean, we loved in my house the Beatles and the Stones.
Yeah.
You know,
what was your mother?
New York,
where was your mom?
You?
What did she do?
My mom was an artist. She just did, her favorite thing to do was, believe it or not, she would find, it was like found object art. So basically, it's a nice term of saying we would go through people's garbages on weekends
and collect
things.
And she turned it into art.
Yeah.
Do you have her pieces?
I don't.
No?
No.
Is she still alive?
No.
When did she pass?
She passed in 1962.
Oh, 1962. How old were you?
I was 3 and a half, something like that.
Oh, so you were a baby.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I didn't actually know that, Perry.
Yeah. It's not a great story.
Okay.
So my mom took her own life. Back then.
And is that how you and Dave?
Yeah, we definitely connected.
I actually never knew that about you. I knew that about Dave.
Yeah.
But that's two musicians who came together because they lost their
mom.
So there's something like, you know, that's the loss and grief
at an early age
can connect people, and if you can turn your grief into art, which is I've been telling my kid, who has, you know, like the angst of stuff. It's like, turn your grief into art.
Right.
And she's like the most amazing poet. She's like.
Your grief, your rage.
I'm so excited that Perry Farrell, your beautiful box set of all your work is coming out. And Etty, I'm so really inspired and excited that you're creating music now, playing the saxophone, creating on your own, creating with your man. And like, I think creativity is, it really, it does. Creativity equals love.
Together.
It does. I love music so much. I mean, and you know, I shot all the backstage of interviews of Coachella, and that was like my favorite job I ever had in my life. More than any acting, more than anything, I just loved doing that so much. And when it went away, because you know, YouTube came on and they wanted somebody younger, like the whole thing. I was just like so brokenhearted.
Oh.
So brokenhearted.
It'll come back.
Hey, when it comes back, back, let me do it. Have to let, come. Let me do it at Lollapalooza.
So yes.
Okay, I'd love
to. Oh, yeah, no, we've got plans. We'll include you.
Okay, I'd love to come. I'd love to come in Lollapalooza in Paris because I have great friends there. And then I'll just shoot the backstage interviews for Paris.
Let's do it.
Okay. It's a plan.
All right.
We love you.
Love you guys. Love you guys so much.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. Be sure to rate and review Radical Musings to help other listeners find the show. And subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast to be alerted every time we post a new episode. Radical Musings is brought to you by Audio Up, produced by Krista Liney and Carla Braun. Edited by Jeremiah Zimmerman. Production support provided by Ashley Ardent, Sam Winter, Tyler Dorson, Emma Rappold, and Richard Regal. Thank you all so much. Ooh, la, la. Audio.